and Answers begins right now.
Today we find ourselves living in a post-Christian culture. What does it mean to be in a post-Christian culture? How did we get here? What are the implications for Christians and the church? You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. During our time together today, Pat and his co-host, Keith Boychuk, discuss the character of our post-Christian culture and how it has influenced our nation and the church. Let's get right into part one of this two-part discussion. Here's Keith now.
You're listening to Evidence and Answers, where we provide compelling evidence for faith and hope in Christ and the biblical answers to the issues of today. I'm your co-host, Keith Boychuk, and with me, the founder and director of Evidence and Answers, Dr. Pat Zukeran. Thank you so much for joining me here again today. You know, just a while ago, I wanted to kind of speak on, we just had a conference of the Mama Bear Apologetics. And, you know, I was very blessed to be able to attend it. And it was very, very insightful. But I wanted to kind of get your perspective on it. How did it go for you?
Yes, you know, Keith, we do an annual Evidence and Answers conference, and we feature some of the best Christian scholars and apologists from all over the world. And this year, of course, we brought in Amy Davison of a great ministry called Mama Bear Apologetics. This is a ministry that prepares adults, parents, aunts, uncles, teachers, youth pastors, grandparents, to equip their children in apologetics and the defense of the Christian worldview. We know that our children are just bombarded by ideologies that are contrary to the message and teachings of Christ, that, you know, really dismantle their faith in Christ from the school curriculum that they're going through the media, through their friends, the TV shows that they're watching. She made us really aware of the ideologies and how they really infiltrate and get into the lives of our children. And surveys show that by junior high, they're already doubting their faith. And by senior high, many have already checked out of the faith and they're just waiting to go to college where, you know, they can be free from being dragged to church every Sunday and just kind of do their thing. And so Mama Bear Apologetics is designed to equip adults, to equip children to be able to defend their faith and understand the Christian worldview. And I thought we just had a great conference there. Amy was just fantastic in showing the issues that children are facing today, how it is getting into the hearts and minds of our children, and how we can equip and teach our children from a very young age, all the way from toddler to childhood to the teen years, and how they can be discerning of truth and error, how they can understand the Christian worldview, and how they can defend the Christian worldview against the false teachings that they may encounter, you know, at school, with their friends, or in the media that they see today. And many were blessed who came to the conference. And we've got nothing but great reviews on this one. And we're really considering doing it again with Mama Bear Apologetics. It was just outstanding conference where we hit on a whole lot of issues: biblical sexuality, how to talk to your kids about the LGBTQIA issue, worldviews, and a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, Amy Davison, I really believed hit it out of the park. I mean, one, she's an easy person to listen to, very intelligible, and she makes a lot of great points that are practical and understanding. I also wanted to highlight, you had other speakers too in the breakout sections. We had Dr. Evan Karamura debunking evolution. We had Joel Corvis talking about social media and depression. And we also had Louise Manley, who did such a wonderful job speaking to moms and raising. If you were there, she had an analogy of bread. And how wonderful it is it that bread rises. And, you know, what was really pretty interesting, too, is that she bakes bread. So at the end of her story, she was just giving out bread from that she made. And just what a wonderful analogy to it. You know, you were talking about last time, and this is kind of where the connection is that you were, Amy Davison was talking about how to protect and raise our kids. And last time you got to speak on a little bit about post-Christian culture. If you don't mind, could you speak a little bit more on that? What does it mean that we live in a post-Christian culture?
Yeah, you know, and also, Keith, you know, just to finish off on our conference here, you know, one thing Amy Davidson was emphasizing is that she said, you cannot shelter your children from the culture. You can't wrap them in a bubble and hear no evil, see no evil, speak no, you know, you just can't shelter them from the ideas of the culture that are out there. Instead, you have to teach them to wear the full armor of Christ and engage these ideas in the culture, you know, with the truth of Christ. And that's what we're designed to do here at Evidence and Answers. And just what you're saying, we are now in a post-Christian culture. And what does it mean when you say we live in a post-Christian culture? Well, you know, for nearly two millennia, the theistic worldview was the dominant worldview of Western culture. So therefore, you know, we believed in a God who was the creator of the universe. We believe that truth then originates with God, and therefore truth was absolute. It was objective. It was knowable. It was universal. Therefore, there was a universal and absolute moral law based on the nature of God. You can see that in the founding documents of our nation's history, the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. We are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? Creator, creation, God-given moral absolutes. Our founding fathers were stating they had a just cause, a just war, based on the moral law of God, which is universal. Okay? It's over all mankind. So we believed in a universal moral absolute law that man was created in the image of God with an immortal soul, you know, that existed beyond the death of the body. So there was conscious existence beyond death of the physical body. There was a afterlife, a God, a judgment day for mankind. And the motto was generally love God and love one another. And you see that in monuments all over Washington, D.C., even on our currency. So the Holy Trinity was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, today, all that has changed. We live in what we call a post-Christian culture, or as my friend Greg Kokel says, you know, an anti-Christian culture, a culture that has gone from post-Christian to really hostile to the Christian message. And the worldview of naturalism or atheism has replaced theism. So we live in a culture that rejects, you know, the God of the Bible and replaced him with a God made in their own image, a God we want, or no God. And truth now does not originate with God. It originates with man. Now, so if truth originates with man, then it's changing. You know, man is not all-knowing. Man is not objective. Man is not omniscient. Therefore, truth is relative. And it's either created by the culture or the people in power, or created by each individual. And truth is not universal. It's changing. So you often hear the term, you know, true for you, but not for me. So if truth is relative, then morality is relative. Right and wrong are created by the individual, you know, so don't push your morality on me is what you often hear. Or what really it comes down to is, how do we know right from wrong? It becomes a might makes right kind of morality. Who's ever the dominant in the culture, whoever has the power, determines right from wrong. And that's in a very dangerous position to be. You see that in our culture now, in our country. We're in a very dangerous position. Once we reject God and a universal moral law, well, then how do we determine right from wrong? Well, it's going to come down to might makes right. Whichever tribe, whichever group gains the power is going to determine right from wrong. And you end up in what's called tribal warfare. These tribes inside a country, or inside our country, begin to fight and contest for power. And that's what you're seeing in our culture today, this power struggle, because whoever gains the political economic power is going to determine our right from wrong here. And the civilization eventually just breaks down into some kind of civil war, basically. So we're in a very dangerous position. Our founding fathers understood that we've done many shows on freedom's triangle upon which our nation is built. Morality, you can't have a universal moral law without faith. You can't have in a God. and a universal moral law of God. So once that, you know, you have relativity of truth, you have relativity of morality, you know, the motto today then becomes very self-centered. What is best for me? And the Holy Trinity is no longer the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, becomes me, myself, and I. And so that's kind of the what we mean when we're living in the post-Christian culture today.
Wow, you unloaded.
Yes, we've been talking about this a while.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on that. Has this been something that you've been having your eye on for a while? Or like, I mean, to me, I feel like this has really been since COVID. From your perspective, has this degradation, if you will, has this post-Christian culture been happening for a while? And that's why there's so much that you have information on.
Yes, we have been in a post-Christian culture for a long time. Mm. And now with critical theory, or some would call it contemporary critical theory, now dominating our culture, Christianity is often seen as the oppressor. Mm. You know, and so it's become, as Greg Kokel and others would say, really, we're in an anti-Christian culture where Christianity is no longer one of many worldviews that compete in the arena now. Christianity is the bad guy, and it needs to be stomped out. And you might get that feeling on the university campus. And, you know, usually that's kind of where it was, but the ideas from the campus eventually come into dominate the culture. And now you might feel that, you know, at the workplace or at, you know, the public high school where you may be. I definitely feel it. Before, if you said that you're a pastor or you're in Christian ministry, everyone's kind of like, oh, wow, okay. Now it's kind of like, oh, you know, and everybody just goes silent kind of thing. So it has implications when you're sharing the gospel or telling people you're Christian. I get a different reaction from what I got 20, 30 years ago.
You know, I mean, so just going back on how much, if you were listening, there's so many, I would say even buzzwords to kind of go over, and which I want to kind of unpack a little bit. You did mention an anti-aggressive Christian culture. I remember the days that we could, you know, we would say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, you know, and, you know, the top of a God would, you know, we would, it, like you said, it's on our money, in God we trust. And I've heard rumors that, you know, they want to get rid of that. They want to get rid of the Bible being in the judiciary system, right? Mm-hmm. There, where you put your hands on the Bible, say, we'll say the truth, all the truth, you know, and under God. And it is getting really aggressive. And I'm not sure if you're pretty up to like new videos and stuff, but I was just on Facebook, on my social media, and I saw a cartoon, which my assumption is it's for adults because there's cursing in it. But I think it's called Hazen, like Hotel or something. And the premise is that there's the devil and there's the angels. And it's really kind of putting the angels being the bad guy and the devil. And like, they're not even, this isn't just like a hint of it. This is literally the devil. The devil and the demons are the good guys and they're misunderstood. And I was watching this and I was like, that's crazy. Like, we're really at a time where they're making cartoons, which my assumption is for adults, even though cartoons are usually for kids. And they're just really kind of putting it, hey, the devil's misunderstood. Like, this is no longer, you know, like tinfoil hat thing. This is, they're in your face. And, you know, I mean, I wonder, could you speak on a little bit more on what are some of the things that you do see that are evidence of the aggressiveness against the Christian culture?
Yeah, you know, you bring a great point. You're seeing it a lot in the media, you know, a lot in music and a lot in the movies. I remember back in the day, organized religion or, you know, people in the Christian religion were kind of looked at as good people, really harmless, couldn't hurt a fly kind of portrayal. You know, Father Mulcahy on MASH, you know, kind of clumsy, not really in touch with the world, but just a gentleman, couldn't harm a fly kind of guy that... That's how Christianity was portrayed. Now it's portrayed as the bad guy. And we see a lot of movies like that. There's several I could talk about. I can't think of the latest ones. But I remember, because I keep bringing, you know, using it as an example in my class, The Truman Show. You remember that movie? Truman. He was the true man. That's what he was all about.
Wow,
and what is it? Well, he lives
that.
In a bubble. And the guy that's in charge of it is Christoff, you know. And you remember, he lives in this bubble, and then he wants, you know, there's a dream that he wants. He wants to truly, there's a relationship woman that he has met and an island he wants to see, but he can't get out of the town that he is in because it's a huge studio that's been built for him.
If you haven't seen the show, spoiler alert. I think there's going to be spoilers to this movie, but go on.
Yeah. Well, in the end, he realizes, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. He's in some kind of sheltered studio bubble or something. And he decides, he gets into a boat and he's afraid of water. You know, there's a reason for that, that keeps him, you know, in this confined artificial village here. But eventually he ventures and he hits the edge of the studio. It's actually a wall. And then he sees a door. And as he's ready to go out the door, Christoph comes, cloud from heaven. And his voice, like God, says, Truman, here you're safe. I've built this world for you. You know, you're safe in here. If you go out that door, you don't know what's out there. It's dangerous out there. Stay here in the world that I made for you. All right. And in the end, he opens the door and he goes out and everybody screams and applauds, you know. And what's the whole point? Well, it's a portrayal of organized religion, keeping us in a sheltered little bubble here. To truly live, you have to get out of the oppressive confines of organized religion here to truly live, to become the true man. You know, but there's movies like that where often a priest is kind of a, you know, sinister villain. Remember the Da Vinci Code, and where Christian Church, specifically the Catholic Church, was withholding the true earliest written scriptures, keeping people in oppression. You know, if people really knew the true earliest scriptures, and we've done shows on the Da Vinci Code, which was just fantastic. But, you know, the Da Vinci Code was saying that there's really gospels that precede our gospels that tell the true story of Christ, that he was married, he had children. And so everything we know about the Christian religion is false, you know, trying to debunk the Christian religion. So we're seeing a lot in the media, as you mentioned, that organized religion is portrayed as something that's oppressive and even evil and things. And so, yeah, we're seeing a reversal now. And there's numerous movies flashing through my head, and I'm sure those who are listening, there's numerous TV shows and movies flashing through their head where Christianity or organized religion is portrayed, you know, in a dark way or wrong or ignorant or racist or anti this.
You know, it's funny that you say organized religion. And I mean, if we just kind of take a step back, anyone who isn't a Christian that says organized religion is talking about Christianity. They're not talking about Buddhism. Right. They're not talking about Muslim. It's so funny to say, well, why don't you just say Christian? Because that's who you guys are talking about. Don't make it seem like it's for everyone. You guys are really just talking about Christianity. So I think that's really interesting that even then, the sleight of words to say, well, you know, just organized religions. Like, no. You're talking about one. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to another podcast and someone said, and this is what I thought was really interesting. They said, Christianity right now, the church, I think, has a credibility deficiency in the sense that you'll hear from a lot of people, you know what, Christians are, they say one thing and they do the other thing. I mean, do you think that has affected the views of people on Christianity? Have we had a lot of credibility deficiency where, you know, maybe big name, I mean, you and I could probably name some people already that were very big in the Christian culture and then something happened. And then now it's like, oh, well, you know, how can we trust you even if the guy that you guys trusted can't be trusted?
Yes. You know, and there's some truth to that. You know, unfortunately, we have had high profile men and women in ministry who we have discovered were not men and women of integrity. And one of the things is that the truth of Christianity is not based on the failure of its followers. You know, you don't judge Christianity or an ideology based on the failure of its followers. Christianity is based on the Word of God and the Son of God. And so that's what we're looking at. And for, yes, even Christ said there will be false teachers in the church, but also, you know, we're fallen, sinful human beings. And sometimes, you know, the pressure that people are under in the ministry, not to give them an excuse, you know, it's no excuse for immoral conduct and things, but it can really, you know, weigh them down. So yes, there's some truth to that. But unfortunately, you know, if you've listened to our shows on bias in the media, often when something like that happens, it is highlighted in the media and it goes on the internet and on the popular news media and everything. And it's really highlighted. Unfortunately, you don't see the other side. You don't see the vast, vast majority of Christians and churches and leaders out there who are doing great things for Christ, feeding the hungry, sheltering abused women, bringing the truth of the gospel to the world, establishing schools and churches. I mean, I've been around, you know, different parts of the world, and it is Christians who are building schools, who are ministering to the poor, who are building hospitals, who are establishing churches and bringing communities together. That's the vast majority of Christians and the churches out there. But you never see that in the popular media. You're going to have to go to Christian media or the 700 Club or something to see those kinds of things of just thousands of Christians risking life and resources to bring the gospel to the world and enhance the lives of humans all over the world. Unfortunately, what gets highlighted, you know, is the few bad eggs that are out there. But you are right. That indeed does have an influence. People kind of look at that and say, hey, look at these Christians, hypocrites or whatever. And unfortunately, because of the bias in the media and those things get highlighted, you are right. People can often quickly get a negative impression of the church or what they call organized religion.
That made me think when I used to work at a restaurant, not to toot my horn, it was a five-star restaurant in Waikiki. The general manager would always tell us, it doesn't matter how well of a job you do. It only takes one bad report of a person to bring something down. So, I mean, you know, it almost seems impossible because we're expecting perfection. But I liked what you said, you know, we're not holding, you know, our hope isn't in a human person. Our hope is in something else. It's in Christ, who is perfect.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really great to do that, because then now we could still believe in what we believe just because someone else wasn't maybe in the up and up. But really, really great point that you put on that one. The another thing that I wanted to ask too is that you spoke on truth is relative. Man, have I been hearing that a lot, you know, and, you know, this might start stepping on toes, and this is obviously a sensitive topic for some, but this is comes to the whole identity. One thing, going back to Amy Davidson, she was talking about in the Mama Bear conference, is that we have an identity crisis for our kids and even for adults. And I think that kind of bleeds into the whole, what are my pronouns? You know, how do I identify? And so how do you address the truth is relative? Because, I mean, I'm thinking truth has to be grounded on facts, right? And so sometimes people don't want to hear the truth and they're just saying, well, this is how I feel. This is my belief. But let's say you're able to find a middle ground and someone does want truth. Where do you kind of start the conversation from there? Where do you say, okay, this is the truth? Where do you find that middle ground to start conversation?
Yeah, wow, that's a great question. Man, it's a very loaded question. The definition of truth. This is the biblical definition, but also it's been the classic definition, whether you're in philosophy or history or whatever you may be. The classic definition has always been truth is what corresponds to reality. Truth matches the facts. In other words, truth is outside of us. We discover it and we conform to it. Truth, I discover it, okay? For example, you know, I'm watching TV and I say, well, there must be a little man in the TV. Well, how does that correspond to reality? And mom and dad have teach you, no, this is the facts. There's not a little guy in the TV. Okay, here's how it works. And we adapt to it. I have to replace my false idea with the truth that's outside of me that I have discovered and I conform and I accept it.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers.
Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zuckerman.